take the mountains for us simply believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to challenge us to realize what that we need to be doing. And we see that as we go back to the book of Nehemiah one more time. I feel like it's where the Lord would have us to dwell upon for a little while. As we go back to the book of Nehemiah, we find out that's exactly what happened in Nehemiah's life. As you know, we've been preaching for the last couple of Sundays about Nehemiah, how that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer there in Shushan the palace in the province of Babylon. And amen, he is part of the family. In other words, he was born in captivity. Many of you know we've been preaching, amen, because of disobedience to the children of Israel, God allowed the children of Israel to go through 70 years of bondage. And he allowed the king of Babylon to come in and destroy the temple that Solomon had built and take the strongest of the children of Israel back to Babylon with him. Amen. All that he left there in Jerusalem were just a weak bunch of people. How they couldn't really do much, couldn't rise up and rebel and cause trouble for the king of Babylon. So he took the best, the strongest, the wisest, amen, of the children of Israel back to Babylon with him in captivity. We find out that Nehemiah was born in captivity there in the land of Babylon. He didn't know, had never visited the house of Israel or the house of Judah, Bethlehem. Can I tell you today, amen, I believe his mother and his grandmother had maybe told him about this blessed city and how there was a house of bread and a place that God was. Amen, we find out there was a place that was dear. Even though he had never visited, it was a place that was dear and near to his heart. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Hey, but we found out in chapter 1, the Bible said that, hey, man, while he was the king's cupbearer, certain of his brethren had returned from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, he began to ask him concerning the shape or the condition of Jerusalem, the condition of his people. Hey, man, don't you understand at this time God had allowed a certain group of exiles to go back to Babylon to rebuild the temple. He had allowed another group of exiles or captives to go back to Jerusalem, to be able to take the worship or rebuild the worship and the temple after it had been rebuilt. But even though the temple had been revealed, even though a certain standard of worship had been started once again, there were still problems there in Jerusalem. You say, preacher, what was that problem? That problem was simply the walls around the city, amen, were still torn down. The gate, there was no gates. In other words, people, amen, anybody wants to come in, amen, and desecrate or hinder the worship of God. Oh, we find out that was what the state of Jerusalem and the city of Judah there. When Nehemiah asked the question of his brethren, amen, concerning Judah, Bible said, hey man, that Hananiah, I believe it was, told him how that the walls were burnt down, how the gates were not set in place, and how the people were in ruin, hey man, how they were in dismay. The Bible said how it broke Nehemiah's heart as we preached last Sunday. Hey man, how it broke his heart. How he began to mourn and fast and weep because of the desecration, because of what was going on, amen, there in Jerusalem, because of amen, the dismay of his brethren. He talked about the burden and the concern, amen, of Nehemiah in his asking. And we talked about the compassion, amen, in his mourning and his fast and his weeping. We talked about the care, amen, in his praying to the Lord. But now I want you to look here in chapter 2, just read a few verses. I share just a thought with you this morning. May not get done this morning. If not, we'll continue on next Sunday. Look what it said in chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. Amen. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchre, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Then the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, thou wilt send me into Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build in. I want to stop reading right there. I want you to notice that word, that I may build in. That I may build in. First of all, I want you to notice a few things before we get in to the message. I want you to understand the Bible, if you look at chapter 1, amen, when he heard the news about the city and about his bread and how he began to mourn and how he began to weep. Then he began to pray. Then he began to beseech the Lord. Amen, confessing the sins of his sins and the sins of the people of Israel. In other words, he was getting prepared. He began to cry out to God. Amen, because of his failure. Can I tell you today how we need as children of God? When we realize through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, amen, there's something going on in our life that's not what it needs to be. How we need to fall on our knees and cry out to God, beseeching him for forgiveness. Amen, allowing him to do what needs to be done in our life. And then we might get to that point in our life that he can lay that hand upon us and use us to be a witness. Use us to build. Use us to help. Use us to encourage somebody along the way. We see that's exactly what Nehemiah did in chapter 1. Now, I want you to understand, before chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll see a period of 4 months that has passed. You say, preacher, why was it 4 months? Can I tell you, as we get into it here just a little bit, we'll sort of explain it a little bit. Hey, man, I want you to understand, Nehemiah was a man of prayer. Amen, but Nehemiah was a man of preparation. Nehemiah was not a man that would do things blatantly. Amen, but he took time. Amen, took time, spending time before the Lord, seeking God, praying, and understanding what lay before him. Understanding the preparation that had to be done. Amen, to be able to be that individual that God could use in a mighty way. Can I tell you today, how we need to understand. Amen, and it takes time. We need to understand. Amen, and it's something we don't need to rush in. Hey, man, just a full frontal. But it's something we need to beseech the Lord over. Say, Lord, give me the wisdom. Amen, to be what I need to be. Give me the wisdom and time to be able to commune with you and prepare, Lord, for that you may have for me in my life. Can I tell you today how it's vital, how it's very key to spend time with God. When God began to deal with our heart upon something that he may want us to do, how key it is and how vital it is in the life of the Ricky. Amen. Take time to spend time with the Lord. Amen. When the Lord may be dealing with our heart about something, amen, a ministry that he wants us to enter into, or a job or a place, a decision he wants us to make. How we need to spend time with God, seeking the will of God, seeking the face of God. You see, Nehemiah was not a man to, amen, just jump into something. Amen. But he was a man that was contemplating, spending time. We see that in this period of 4 months. Amen. I want you to understand. Then we see in chapter 2 began. Look what it said. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Turks of the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine, and he gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Now don't you look what that word said. I want you to understand, back in biblical time, hey man, if somebody came into the king without, hey man, a joyful countenance, or they came into the king with a sad countenance or a sad heart, hey man, they could be put to death. In other words, they could literally die because they wouldn't, hey man, they were not happy or were not joyful. They were supposed to come into the king with a joyful countenance, come into the place without a sorrowful countenance. And we find out, hey man, that when he went before the king this day, hey man, he gave him his wine, and the king noticed something about him. You said, preacher, what was that? Honey, notice the burden that Nehemiah had. Can I tell you today, brother, I believe we get burdened for our lost loved ones. I believe we get burdened for our church. How will we get burdened for our nation? Honey, I believe it'll be seen in her countenance. I believe it'll be seen, heard in her prayers. I believe it'll be seen, amen, and how we go through life. Why? And the burden that we may have, amen, for what needs to be done in someone's life, or what needs to be done in our church, or our life, or our nation. The Bible said that, amen, Nehemiah, when the king asked him this, he said, "This, hey, something going on with you. Hey, it's not just sorrow of countenance." In other words, he said, "You're sad." Honey, can I tell you today, the Bible tells us, amen, that when Nehemiah heard these words, he said this. He said, "Wherefore," the king said to him, "why is the countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? And this is nothing, amen, else but sorrow of heart." Then look what he said. "Then I was very sore afraid." Amen. Nehemiah knew that he stood, amen, at the grace of the king. Now when Nehemiah stood, knew, amen, that unless the king granted him grace, amen, he was fixing to die. Oh, but thank God, God had put in the heart of that heathen king to grant the grace of God to Nehemiah, amen, to allow him to make, amen, request for that he was fixing to request of the king for. Ain't you glad that God gives us grace even many times, time when it seems like grace may not even be nowhere around, but yet it is there. Can I tell you that I'm talking about, amen, what God wanted to do in Nehemiah's life. I'm talking about, amen, God was fixing to do something to Nehemiah, amen, that would help the land of Judah, the land of Jerusalem, amen, it would influence so many lives. Can I tell you today, that's what God wants to do in each and every one that I'm speaking to this morning. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to do something in my life that can influence hearts, that can influence lives, that maybe even can influence history. You say, "Preacher, whoa, wait a minute." And I tell you, God's able. God's able to take you and I. Amen. You say, "Preacher, there's no way God can take me. Allow me to be an individual, an instrument." Amen. That may change history. That may change lives. That may change, amen, history as we know it. And I tell you today, Nehemiah changed history. God changed history through Nehemiah. Amen. And there's many saints of God that God, amen, has worked through. Amen. To influence many, many lives and change history. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about the hand of God laid upon that individual. Amen. We're not going to get any too much further, but I want to, the Bible said he was so afraid. Amen. The Bible said, and he said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city is the place of my father's sepulchres lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire?" I want you to notice we see here that burden once again, amen, of Nehemiah. He said, "King, why should I not be sad when I look at what's going on there in my blessed city? Amen. When I look at what's going on with my brethren that they're in that city, how can I not be sad?" Oh, can I tell you today how we need to look around at our nation, look around at our loved ones, our countries, even our churches across this land, how we need to be broken and burdened on behalf of what's going on behalf, amen, of what needs to be done in our lives, in our nation, in our churches, throughout this land. You say, "Preacher, hey man, what does God want to do?" God's looking for somebody like Nehemiah. God's looking for somebody that cares enough to ask. God's looking for somebody that's burdened enough, had enough compassion to weep and mourn. God's looking for someone, hey man, that's humble enough to seek God. Hey man, confess our sin and allow ourselves to get in that position where we need to be, where God can lay his hand, hey man, upon us to influence lives. As I go out, as we close the broadcast this morning, and we'll continue with that thought, amen, next Sunday. But will you consider being the one? Will you consider being that one that God can use? Oh, say, "Preacher, I'm not enough much."
You think God ain't requiring much? All God's requiring is obedience. All God's requiring, hey man, is consecration. All God's requiring is for us to simply humble ourselves before Him and say, God, here I am. You use me. Back to natural at this time.